Today's shir is Masecht Shkalim Daf Tezvav, and we're going to begin on Yud Daled Amud Beis, right at the beginning of the Gemara, after the Mishnah. We had learned yesterday in the Mishnah that in the Beis Hamikdash there was a system of tokens where if somebody had to bring a carbon, depending on which animal, and we'll discuss more about that in today's shir, Mirza Hashem, they had to bring different amount of nesachim, wine, and oil, and flour. And there was a machlokes ben Azai and the Tanakama, how many different varieties there were. According to the Tanakama, there were four. According to ben Azai, there were five. The Tanakama said the fourth one was for a Metzaira. But according to Tanakama, the fourth one was for a Metzaira who was wealthy, that had to bring three different animals for Kabbonis. And therefore, he had to bring a lot of nesachim. So that is a special token. But according to Ben Azai, there were five. Why? One for the wealthy token that we just, for the wealthy Mitzayra that we just described. And the other one was for the poor Mitzayra. But ask the Gemara on Ben Azai, Chay Tadal, when you have a poor Mitzayra, Lama, why does he have to have a special token? He only brings one gedi, one goat, which is the exact same nesachim as any time a goat is brought. So since it's the exact same nesachim, why do we have to have a special token? Answers the Gemara, Hayumevi loigei imai. Yes, a mitzaira ani brings the same nesachim as a gedi, but he also has to bring one more loig shemen that was used to shmir on his big toe, on his big finger, so that is different than a regular nesachim of a gedi. For that extra loig, we had to have a special token. Biram, so now the question is, what did the Tanakam, what did Rabbanon say? Biram, Krabbanon, maybe gedi, he just brings the same nesachim as a gedi. So pshat's like this. Even though he has to bring an extra loig, say the Rabbanon, that extra loig he doesn't have to buy from the Beis Hamikdash. That extra loig he could bring from home. And the Mefarshim explained Pshat very nicely. We explained yesterday, why couldn't people bring the Sochem from home? Why did they have to bring the Sochem, buy the Sochem to the Beis Hamikdash? So we explained yesterday, because the Sochem are items that can become Tamei, flour, oil. Since they can become Tamei, they have to, we're concerned that if somebody brings it from home, it'll be tummy. Buy it from the Beis Hamikdash. The extra loig that the Mitzayra Ani is bringing, that's not going to be put on the Mizbeach. So that we don't care about its status. And that's why the Rabbanan say, bring it from home. You don't have to buy it from the Beis Hamikdash. But Nazai says, no, I want to buy all the oil from the Beis Hamikdash. And that's why there was a token even for Mitzayra Ani. Ask the Gemara. Rochamah. What is the halacha if you bring a sheep, a female sheep, that's over a year old? What kind of nesachim does it bring? Answers the Gemara. Memai the Tanina, from what we learned in the Mishnah. Gedi Mishamish, Nechzei Tzon Gedoilim V'Ketanim, that the tokens that are called goat are for sheep, whether large or small, Zekarim and the Kavis, female or male, it makes no difference what age of sheep, it's all the same. The Ksiv, and the Gemara bases all of this on a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Koch Yosel Shar Echad, Oyla Ayel Echad, Oyla Seb, Ksavim, Obi Ezim. And the Gemara now will explain each part of the Pasuk. Lashar Echad Lama Nemar, what do I learn from the word Lashar Echad? Magid, it comes to teach us, Shle Chilait Bein Nichse Egel and Nichse Shar. It makes no difference between a calf and a cow. Young or old, Shahayibidin, we might have thought, Ma'at sign, Tarn Nesachim, if you bring sheep, you have to bring Nesachim, or Banabaka Tarn Nesachim, and when you bring cattle, you require Nesachim. In Mitzanu, if we learnt in the Mishnah, Shechilek, that there's a distinction, Bein Nechse Kevis L Nechse Ayel, Kevis is a sheep, a male sheep, which is a year old, and Ayel is a sheep which is 2 years old, male. So I would think, just like the there's a different nesachim for a male sheep when it's 1 year old or 2 year old. Lekach nachloik, similarly, we should differentiate by nechse egel and nechse shor, between the nechachim of a calf and of an axe, tamalayim kachu yaasa l'shor echad, so there's an extra word ha'echad, magich l'chilek by nechse egel and nechse shor. There's no difference. All cows, oxen, male, female, young, old, have the same nechachim. Oy la'ayil l'menemer, what does the pasuk say the word la'ayil? Shahayu b'din. That by sheep, male sheep, there's a difference if it's 1 year old or 2 year old. Perhaps we should also make a difference between a 2 year old male sheep and a 3 year old male sheep, that they all should have different nesachim. That once the sheep is 2 year old or older, all of them are the same. That there's a difference between a 1 year old and 2 year old male sheep. Perhaps we should also make a difference by a female sheep between when she's 1 year old or 2 year old. That's how we began this piece of Gemara. Tamaloima oilase beksavim, by female sheep, that makes no difference what age it is, it's all the same. Oibizim lamanemar. What do I learn from the word oibizim? Shahoy b'din imet sana shechelik b'nechse keves l'nechse ayil. That there's a difference between a male 1 year old sheep and a 2 year old sheep. L'kach nachloik b'nechse gedil l'nechse tayish. We should also make a difference between a young male goat and an older male goat. Tamaloima oibizim. Hikish katan shebizim l'golo shebtiyoshim. It makes no difference between a young goat and an old goat. Ma'azeb shloshes lugim. Just like this. Is a nesachim of 3 loigim of oil av zeh b'shloshes lugim. So we learned v'shem ha'yukasav. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, because there was people who were ramon, and we said two pshatim, that would pick up a token that was lost and then use it for themselves, but they wouldn't come that day that it was lost, because then everybody would realize it was just not theirs, it was somebody else's, so they would wait. Or as we learned, we didn't want that tokens should become a commodity to do business with, that people will buy tokens on the expectation that the price of Nesachim will go up. So that's why they wrote the date of the week, they wrote the date on the Nesach, on the token. Hagba Atzma. So, says the Gemara, let's think about this. What are we accomplishing? Shazai Gosiyon. The right that it was done on, that this is a Nesachim from Thursday. So fine. So the person won't come this Thursday, he'll come next Thursday. Answers the Gemara. What they did was, he's going to come the same day. Answers the Gemara, Mishmer, he also wrote on it the name of the Mishmer. We know that there were 24 different Mishmeris. So just, if he wrote Thursday, we wrote Thursday of Mishmer, whatever, and therefore, coming next week wouldn't work, because next week wasn't that Mishmer. Says the Gemara. But that's also not enough, because the Mishmeris work twice a year. So he'll wait a half a year or less, and then the Mishmeris will come back, and he'll come then. So it says, Shem Yoim, they wrote the name of the date. Shem Shabbos, the name of the week. Shem Chodesh, HaKosav Aleim. So there were a lot of details on the token, the name of the day, the name of the week, the name of the Mishmer. So it should come out. So now he's not going to come because he's going to get caught. And that he should wait that it's going to come out again. All this exact permutation, the same Mishma working in the same week, with the same everything, is unlikely. And that's why we have nothing to be concerned. Because I feel a Ratzel Lazayik, even if he wanted to wait for that exact match, a Ratzel Lazayik, it's unlikely that he'll find it.
Why don't they make it simple, right? You can do dates within the year. You know, base
7. I don't know. Says the Mishnah, Shem Lishkos HaBeMikdash. There were two rooms in the Beis HaMikdash. Achas Lishkos Chashoy, one was called the room that was quiet. We'll explain why soon. V'achas Lishkos HaKelim, one was where the Kelim were kept. Lishkos Chashoy, what does the quiet room represent? Yirachet Noisim L'Toich B'Chashoy, people who wanted to give tzedakah on the highest level, Matan B'Seser, would put money there quietly. V'Niim B'nei Toivim, people who were embarrassed to take tzedakah, they didn't want anybody to take tzedakah, would go there quietly and take tzedakah from there. Lishkos HaKelim, what was the Lishkos HaKelim? Call me Shayim Snadav Keli. If somebody wanted to donate a utensil to the Beis HaMikdash, Zark l'tachil, with put it into that room. V'achas l'shloshim yoyim, once every 30 days. Hagizbarim paischan esrei, the treasurers would open up that room. V'kol kli shematza by tzarech l'bedek habayis, any utensil that bedek habayis could use, menichan esrei, they would take. V'shan karm, but anything that they had no use for, they would take. V'demeim noifel l'bedek habayis, they would take the money and sell it for temple bedek habayis fund. Says the Gemara, Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Rav Yitzchak bar Nafkin, have a panosim. These two people were gaboim. V'av Yavim Rav Chami avud Rav Yoshi Adina. They used to give money to Rav Yehuda, for who Yav Leilachronin, and he would give that money to someone else. He didn't keep it for himself, but he knew people who needed money that were embarrassed to take, and he would give it to them. Says the Gemara, Rav Zecharia Chasnid Rav Levi. Rav Zecharia was the son-in-law of Rav Levi. Hayakal Maliz Malov. There were a lot of rumors about him. Arm the light Sarach, they said that he's a person that doesn't need staka, and he takes anyway. Minda Domach, once he passed away, Bodkin, they examined his books, for Ashkechin the Mavamafkle Lachrinim, that even though he took staka, he didn't take it for himself, he took it to give to someone else, to give to others who were embarrassed to take. And actually, the Meiri says, based on this Gemara, Lahalocha, that let's say somebody doesn't, Baruch Hashem, need staka, but he knows of someone else who needs staka, who's embarrassed to take, that person is allowed to take the staka, even though people may say that he's taking money that he shouldn't, he's allowed to do it if his intention is honorable to give to people who need it. Says the Gemara, Rav Chinen and Bar Papa have a maflik mitzvah. Rav Chinen and Bar Papa would give out staka belayla, at night. Staka is called mitzvah. So Mefarshim ask, why from all, we have 613 mitzvahs, Taryag mitzvahs. Why from all Taryag mitzvahs is staka called mitzvah? So they explain, the Nadav Yehuda discusses this, that staka is a very unique mitzvah. Every other mitzvah we know, schar mitzvah by Hayal Maleka. We don't get schar for mitzvah in this world. We get schar for the mitzvahs in the Olam HaEmes. Staka is a mitzvah that we get schar in this world. Explains the Noid of Yehuda why. If somebody takes a lulav, if somebody blows a shofar, if he doesn't mean to do it for staka, for the mitzvah, the act is meaningless. There's no point in taking a lulav, there's no point in blowing shofar, all the other mitzvahs. So the mitzvah is done with Shem Shemayim, and the schar is in Shemayim. Staka, on the other hand, he explains, is something that you don't have to have kavana. You don't have to have any intention. You're giving tzedakah because there's a person that needs. So since no kavanah is required, if the only thing that is required is the act of actually giving, which is something which is related to Olam Hazeh, action, so the schar for tzedakah is b'Olam Hazeh. And actually there's a tshuva in the Sefer Shari Deya that takes this concept a step further. He says that for all mitzvahs that are ben adam l'chaveroi, the schar is in this world. Because all mitzvahs of ben adam l'chaveroi, it's obvious that you have to do them. You're not allowed to steal, you're not allowed to hurt somebody else. So therefore, for mitzvahs that somebody fulfills ben adam l'chaveroi, he could expect schar in this world too. So he would give tzedakah at night. Chazman pogabei rabin deruchayu. One time when he was distributing tzedakah at night, he met the head of the shadim. Amlei, lekaf lekein alfen rebbe, didn't you teach us that you're not allowed to encroach on somebody else's boundary, and the night is the time for shadim. So now is not the time for you to do mitzvahs. Amalei, loy chen ksiv. Doesn't the pasuk say matan b'seisa yichva af? That if you give tzedakah quietly, it has the power to overpower anything else, any anger. For have mistfimine. Once he said this, so the shed was scared for oruk mekamoy and ran away. And the mafarshim say, based on this gemara, that the minig that Rizal says is not to give tzedakah at night. However, there are a number of exceptions. One, the Michsalaza says that let's say somebody made a neder to give tzedakah. The example he gives is by Yisker, people make a neder to give tzedakah. So now you have an obligation, that tzedakah you're allowed to give at night. Another exception is if the oni comes to you. If a poor person approaches you and needs tzedakah, you're certainly allowed to give it to him at night. Another exception is if you don't give to him as staka, you give it to him as a present, as a matana. Another exception Rav Avadya Yosef says, if an appeal is made or a dinner where you could get the people together, and at night it's easier to get the people together than another time, then you're allowed to give by night. And another exception is if you don't give it directly, you give it through a shliach. The Devar Chaim says that. Says the Gemara. Very interesting, before we go further, the Masham says, la halacha, most people don't do this. That let's say a pinyan a ben, the 30th day comes out on Shabbos Yontif. So you're not supposed to make a pinyan a ben on Shabbos or Yontif. So not a question when normally a pinyan a ben is done by day. When should you make the pinyan a ben? Matzoi Shabbos or Matzoi Yontif or the next day? He says, based on this Gemara, you shouldn't make a pinyan a ben at night. At night is not the time. You should do it by day. Says the Gemara. It says a pasuk in Tehillim, Ashrei noisel dal ink sivkan. Doesn't say praises somebody to give staka. Ela Ashrei maskel dal. Maskel means that maskel means seichel. He thinks about it. Shumistakel b'mitzvah heichel asoy soy. He thinks how should he do the mitzvah. Ketzet, how Rabbi Yoina isa? How did Rabbi Yoina act? K'sheiroi ani ben toivim shiar min echosof. When he saw a poor person that came from a nice family that was embarrassed to take money, that lost his fortune. I heard really you're going to come into a lot of money, an inheritance from somewhere else. Tol vat pareya. So take and you'll pay me back. You're going to have money. Min have a nosif. Once he took the money, and he at least was comfortable that the person had it, have amalei, then he would tell him, matani lach, you know what, keep it. You don't have to pay me back. Like that, it made it more comfortable for the person to take. I saw another pshat, very powerful pshat. We know that life is a galgal chayza ba'olam. Life is a cycle. Sometimes people are on top and people are on the bottom. So we tell them, tol, take that pareya. Right now, I could give and you have to take. There may be a time that I may have to take and you'll be able to give. So you'll pay back. And if it's not me, it'll be my children. So tol, you take that pareya. If not, you're paying me back. Your children will pay back my children. Chibarada said, "Is have a sabim b'yameim." The old people in his time, man to have a hivlon, whoever gave them tztaka, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, have a naspin. Then they would take tztaka. Min basa kain, but afterwards lo have a naspin. They wouldn't take. Omer dishtekabon, we already have it. So there's a number of pshatim this Gemara. The Taklan Charetin explains the Gemara as follows. The Gemara says that Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, Tzadikim Gemurim Anichtovim L'Alta L'Chaim, Rishayim Anichtovim L'Alta L'Misa, Beinanim are Teluyim V'Oimdim Til Yom Kippur. So he said like this, these people thought that they were Beinanim. The halacha is everybody should consider himself a Beinanim. So between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what we're supposed to make this year wasn't decided yet. So they were willing to take tzedakah. Once Yom Kippur came, whatever they're supposed to earn this year was already written, and that's why they didn't want to take tzedakah. We'll get what we're supposed to get anyway. Another pshat is they really didn't want to take tzedakah. They took between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because they wanted to give the people the opportunity to do a mitzvah of giving tzedakah. And in that pshat is a little deeper, could be said. One pshat that I saw deeper is that why didn't they want to take tzedakah? Because they're concerned that the people who are giving it don't really mean it. They're not giving it with their whole heart. But they were sure that between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, whoever's giving tzedakah really means it, because everybody needs chusim that time of the year. Another pshat is that it's a very short amount of time between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. And they were concerned that they want to give the people opportunity to give tzedakah. If they're going to start saying, no, we're not taking tzedakah, then the people won't have time to chaperayim, to do mitzvahs, so they were willing to take. Says the Gemara, Nechemi is sich and pogged by Yerushalmi Achad. Nechemi met a person from Yerushalayim. Amalei, Zachemi had the Tanagoesa. I'm used to eating hen. In that time, hen meat was more expensive than meat. He says, give me hen meat. Amalei, Hailach Tamisa the Kuppet. I won't spend money for it. Hen meat, I'll give you a piece of meat. Vezoven Kuppet Vachel. So he bought a piece of meat and he ate for miss. And the person died because he wasn't accustomed to eating meat. Vayitzaveich Vaimer. And he was crying and said, Boros Siptu Laruga Shal Nechemya. I was the one that killed Nechemya. I was the one that killed him. Nechemya said on himself, I killed him by not giving him what he deserved. So Mefarshim asked, the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubis, that a person should give tzedakah to every person according to what they are used to. So if this person was used to eating hen meat, why didn't he give him hen meat? So two turutzim are given, I saw. One answer is that where is the obligation to give the poor person whatever he's accustomed to? That's when the tzibur, when he's taking from a communal fund. But when he's taking from a private individual who's not, doesn't even live on that standard, isn't obligated to give that person such a high standard tzedakah. That's one teretz I saw. Another teretz is, there are two reasons why a person could get accustomed to eating something. One is because that's the way he grew up. He grew up in a wealthy home, and he's accustomed to a high style. Another reason is because he got himself accustomed to it. When is there a din that you have to satisfy a person's style? That's if he was brought up that way. But if a person wasn't brought up that way, he just got himself used to this high style, and now I have to support it, that you don't have to do. Says the Gemara. Nochem ish Gamzu. First I'm saying either it was called Gamzu because he came from the city of Gimzu, or because he always used to say Gamzu l'toiva. Hayimayoch derech l'beis chamam. He was carrying a present to his father-in-law. Pogba mukushchan echad, he met a sick person. Omle, zachei mi mad iskabach. Give me something to eat. Omle, michser. I'm on the way to doing a mitzvah of honoring my father-in-law, so I'll give you on my way back. He didn't think that this person's situation was so serious. Chazer, when he came back, he found that this person had passed away. So he said, Lekablei, he said about himself, Einach techaminach, my eyes that saw you, and didn't give you, yistamayun, should become blind. Yodai, my hands, the light pashta mitanlach, that didn't open up to give you, yiskaton, should be cut off. Raglai, my feet, that didn't run to give you tzedakah, yizburin, should be broken. Matzei came, and that's exactly what happened. Sorek l'gabei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva came to visit him. Amrei, oili, shani roi asafakach. It's terrible, the situation you're in. Amrei, oili, ein ani roi asafakach. So Ben Nochem Ishkamzu said back to Rabbi Kiva, I wish you were in that situation. Amalei mat mekalaleni. So Rabbi Kiva said to Nochem Ishkamzu, why are you cursing me? Amalei, oma at bivat b'yisurim. Why are you saying that it's not worthy to get yisurim? If we get yisurim in this world, we'll be able to go straight into Olam Haba. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Oisha Rabba, have a rabbi de Brei, chat saginor. His son had a teacher who was blind. This blind person would eat with him every day. One day he had guests. So he didn't invite the blind person. Why? Because he didn't want the blind person to be embarrassed that he, the people would see that he has to eat by somebody else's house. So that evening, Reb Oisha went to visit the blind person. Don't be angry. Began the Hamle Orchin. I had guests, and that's why I didn't invite you. Begin the Havli Orchin Yamadain. The Amzris, so I said, the Lelevzui Bikar Damari Yamadain. I didn't want you to be embarrassed. Begin Kach Lechalas Emara Yamadain. That's why I didn't invite you to eat with us today. Omle. So the blind person was very happy that his intention was so honorable and that he went to the bother of apologizing. Omle, ata payasta, you apologize, lemande mischami v'loichami, to somebody who can be seen but can't see. Then the chami v'loich mischamim, the one who could see and not be seen, yikabel piyuschach, should always apologize you, should always accept your apologies. Who is that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees us but can't be seen. Omle, hadam enolach, this is such a powerful statement. Where did you learn this from? Amalem Reb Lezer ben Yankov. I learned this from Reb Lezer ben Yankov. Reb Lezer ben Yankov ol chad sagi nor lekarte. There was a blind person, and Reb Lezer ben Yankov came to his city. Yosef le Reb Lezer ben Yankov l'ramenei. Reb Lezer ben Yankov wanted everybody should honor this blind person and give him tzedakah, so he sat behind him. The yemrim, and like that, people will say the lule to have a banash rabba. If not that this blind person was a great person, Layasalei Belezban Yaakov L'Ramenei. Rabbi Lezban Yaakov would never agree to sit behind him. Avdalei Penosa de Ikon. So A lot of people gave a lot of money, a lot of stock to this blind person. So the blind person realized that something's going on here. So all of a sudden he's having such a successful day. So they told him, you know why? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Yosel Ramanach. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is sitting behind you. That's why everybody thinks that you're so important. And that's why everybody's giving you big donations. V'tzorei hadutz losa. When the blind person realized what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov did on his behalf, davened for him the following tefillah. Ata gemalta chesed leman demischami v'leichami. You did a chesed for somebody who can be seen but doesn't see. Then the chami v'lei mischami, the one that could see but not be seen, yigmal yiten chesed, should do chesed with you. Says the Gemara, Rav Chama v'achinan of Rav Oisha have metalim be'ilin k'nishta delod. They were walking by the shul of Lod. Om Rav Chama v'achinan le Rav Oisha. Kamen momen shiku avoisei kan. How much money did my forefathers invest here to build this beautiful shul? Omle, kamen nefoshes shiku avoisei kan. Your father didn't spend money. He spent lives. Wasn't there anybody here that needed, that was learning and needed the tztaka? And giving tztaka to somebody who's learning is more important than giving tztaka to building a shul. And the Maram Rattenberg paskens like that, la'aloch l'maisa. He says, if a person has a limited amount of money to give for tztaka, he should first give it to people who are learning or to people who are sick. And only if those people are taken care of, then can you spend the money on building beautiful buildings. Otherwise, don't do that. And interesting, the Sefer Chassidim brings this down, but he adds a very interesting point. He says, and when you're giving tzedakah to people who are learning, you're supporting people who are learning Torah, he says the first people that are learning Torah are people who learn Torah in order to be mekayim the mitzvahs, to know how to do the mitzvahs of the Torah, not just that they're learning Torah for pilpulim. Learning l'shem l'kayim mitzvahs comes first. And there's a very interesting vart from the Avos Tzion, Shivas Tzion, who was the son of Noida Yehuda. He says there's a very interesting thing we find in Divrei Hayomim. He says the Pasuk says, as we spoke already in this Masechta, that David HaMelech was not given the opportunity to build the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he shouldn't build the Beis HaMikdash, but he was allowed to collect the funds to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what he did. Now Shlomo HaMelech, the Pasuk says, collected his own funds. Didn't use the money that David HaMelech collected. So he says, why not? If David HaMelech collected all these funds, those should have been the money used. So he says, Shlomo HaMelech knew that during David HaMelech's reign, there were 3 years of hunger. He says, money that was collected to build a building in the time when Klal Yisrael was hungry is money that should not be used to build a building. And that's why he collected his own money. But there's a very sharp revert that the Brisker Rav said about the Ponovitcher Rav in this Gemara. We know that the Ponovitcher Rav built the Ponovitcher Yeshiva and all the Moisdis and Bnei Barak, and he spent a life, good part of his life, working hard to raise the funds. So Brisker Rav said, regarding people like that, that spend their lives to build Torah and don't aren't home and put in so much effort, he said, somebody building Torah has to give up his life to build Torah. We have to appreciate those type of people. Rav Oven Oven Ilan Tara the Sidra. Rav Oven made these beautiful gates for the shul of Sidra, of the shul. Also Ramana Lagabe. Ramana came to visit him. Am Lechami, my Avdis. Look, so he said, look what a great job we did, that we built these beautiful gates. Am Levi Yishkach Yisrael, as I say you. On you, the Pasuk says, people forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yivno Heichalas, and they build shuls. L'hav ben ish to learn Baraisa. You should have, more importantly, spent the money on people learning. But there's a vart from the Beis Yisrael. The Beis Yisrael says, we say in the Haggadah, V'yered Mitzrayim B'mesei Ma'ot. It says, when we're in Mitzrayim, in Golos, same art, we shouldn't spend effort on building big shuls. We should support those that are learning, those that are not well. But in Eretz Yisrael, where we will be forever, there you're allowed to build buildings. Only in Chutz La'aretz, but same art, they lay in low key. In Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be there in Mitzvah Shem soon, all of us by Mashiach, there you can build beautiful buildings. Says the Gemara. Tani kach mizbeach mitzina seroyin lehen, mikach bed kabayis. If, as we've been learning, they collected money for the shkolim for kabonis, but they didn't have enough money, so they could take out of the bed kabayis fund for kabonis. However, ein kach bed kabayis mitzina seroyin lehen mikach mizbeach. But let's say you need funds for the bed kabayis, money from the shkolim cannot be used for that. Ask the Gemara of Ataninin, Klisha, Mintzabait Tzarekh, Bede Kabayis, we learned in our Mishnah that if they found a Keli, that Bede Kabayis can use it, Menich, and I saw it, they took it for the Bede Kabayis. Vashar, anything else, Nimkarim was sold, Vedemein, Neufel, and Bede Kabayis. The money had to be used for Bede Kabayis. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that the Halach is that Keli doesn't have to be used for Bede Kabayis, that Keli could even be used for anything else, For kabbonis, so why does the Mishnah say that it's only used for bedek kabayis? Should have said it could be used for bedek kabayis, or if necessary for kabbonis. Answers the Gemara: Amar Rav Chizkiya Kini Masnisan. What the Mishnah means is lelishkas bedek kabayis. Those kalim that we don't need are sold, they're put into the bedek kabayis fund, and then from the bedek kabayis fund, I use it for whatever I need. Hanloch parak elam numen, hanloch parak elahem hamamunim, hanloch parak elam mamun. Says the Mishnah. Shloishas or Shaifris, there were 13 pushkas. We'll see in the Gemara why they were called Shaifris. Shloishas or Shulchanis, and there were 13 tables. Shloishas or Heshtachavoyus, Hayav Migdash. And they bowed down 13 times in the Beis Migdash. As the Gemara explains, they used, when they walked into the Beis Migdash, they had to take a turn to the right. Kol Pinish at the point of the Yamin, you always have to take a right turn and move to your left. And there were 13 spots where they had to bend down. They bent down 14 places. Where was the extra place? The place where they kept the wood. She came They had a Kabbalah, my Vesayim, from their forefathers. Shisham Aron Nignas. That's where the Aron was buried, and that's why they bowed down there. Says the Mishnah. He was working, and he saw that a tile in the Azara was different. Some say it was a little different color. Some say it was a little higher. Brav amal chaveri. So he went to show it to his colleague. Lehispig ligmas adover, and he couldn't complete what he was going to show. Ach yosu nishmosoi, until he passed away. They knew that Shishama Aron Gornis, that's where the Aron was buried, and they didn't want anybody to know exactly the spot, because we were concerned that the goyim shouldn't find out and take it away, or they were concerned that even Klal Yisrael wouldn't treat it with the proper respect, so they wanted to keep it as a secret. Tani, we learned in a brisa. Hashayfas halolu akumas haya. The shayfas were sort of crooked. Tzoros mamala, they were narrow on top, v'chavas mamata and wide on the bottom, m'nei haramon. That nobody should be able to stick their hand in and steal out some of the coins. Tani, we learned in a brisa. Tanim b'shem v'leza. Ha'aron gola imam lebovel. The Aron went into golas with Klal Yisrael into bovel. My tama. What's the reason? Says the Gemara. Ein loivasa dover omer Hashem. Nothing should be left over. What does dover mean? Ela shadibris l'taychai. The pasuk is referring, dover means dibris, the luchais, the keno omer. It says in the pasuk, "Uluchuvus Hashana Sholacha Mechametzer v'yivu Bavela im Kli Chemdes Beis Hashem." They brought Yoachin to Bavel together with the Kli Chemdes Beis Hashem, the most important keli, the treasure. What is it? Zal Aron. Rav Shim ben Lakish Aymer b'mekayme haya Aron Nignas. The Aron was buried in where it was in the Beis Hamikdash. Hahudik Siv v'yirichu Habadim v'yirah Rosh Habadim al Kodesh apnei Advir. They won't be shown outside. And the pasuk ends off with the words, Ad Hayoim Azeh. They're there until this very day. They're not visible to Aron, but it's there. So, 2 points I would like to make. One is, the Gemara says the Aron went to Bavel. What's the limud? What do we learn from Aron went to Bavel? So, Mefarshim explained The limud is wherever we are, we're in bubble, we're in galus. But the aron, the Torah is always with us. We don't have an excuse that we're chutz laaretz, we're in galus. We don't have to learn the Torah, we don't have to follow the Torah. Ha'aron went with us to galus, to chutz laaretz. It's interesting, however, the Rambam in the halacha in the Mishnah Torah paskins that the aron was buried in the Beis Hamikdash. So Mefarshim say the Rambam is a halacha sefer. What's the halacha l'maisa of knowing where the aron is buried? So the answer, because the halacha is that the Rambam says that the Makom Hamikdash still retains its kedusha. Why does the Makom Hamikdash still retain its kedusha? Because it's the place where the aron was buried. So since it's the place where the aron was buried, and the aron is there, so the kedusha is still there. Another say, this goes back to something that we learned earlier. If the aron wasn't there, where it was in the Makom Hamikdash, we would not be allowed to do any of the kabbonis, because we learned earlier in the Masechta that if the aron isn't there, you're not allowed to bring kabbonis. So that's why he learns that the aron was left there. Says the Gemara, Ksiv v'yiro. First the pasuk says that the aron was visible, v'atamrit, and then it says v'lo yiro, wasn't visible. Elo nirin v'lo nirin. They were visible and not near visible. How? What does that mean? Bolton v'yotzen kishnei didi isha. They were like the breast of a woman who are not visible behind her clothing. Rabban and Amri, the lishkas dira etzim hayaron garnus. They was buried where the wood was kept. Says the Gemara, mas b'kain echad balmum. There was a story with a kain who was a balmum, so he wasn't allowed to do any other avoida. Shayaron fatzel etzim lishkas dira etzim. He was peeling wood over there. V'ros itzbashim mishtana. He saw that one of the tiles was different, mechaver said from all the other tiles. Bava amle chavera, bas ritzba zois. Look at this tile. Shemishtana Mechaber said that it's different. He didn't have opportunity to show where it was different until he passed away. They knew Shisham Ha'aron Garnus, that's where it was buried. Tani Reb Aishir Hikishla Kurnus, when he saw the tile that was different, he tried to knock with a hammer to see what's going on there. Was burnt. Tani. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa. Rehuda ben Lakish Omer. Shtei Aronis ha'yoharachim Yisrael b'midbar. There were two Aronis that went with Klai Yisrael in the Midbar. Achad shayu Torah, Nesuna b'taycha. One which had the Luchas in it. V'achad shayu Shirei Luchas, Nesuna b'taycha. And the other one had the broken Luchas. Zeh shayu Torah, Nesuna b'taycha, ha'yimunach b'ayil ma'id. That one was always left in the Mishkan. Ha'hud ha'ksiv. V'aron b'ris Hashem, u'moshe, le'moshe m'kev ha'machnon. They never left. And the one that had the broken luchas used to travel with them in Mechama. And sometimes they took him out to Mechama. Rabbanan disagree. They say, Aron Echad Haya, there was only one Aron. Only one time was it taken out. For Nishba, and the Taka got captured. So Mefarshim, the Rishonim explain what's the Machlaikis. If there was one Aron or two Aron. So one way of explaining the Machlokes is, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Shemayim with the Luchas. And then he went up after the first Luchas to get the Torah. He was up in Shemayim for 40 days. The question is, so some Rishonim explain, where were those Luchas kept? So some Rishonim say, those Luchas were kept in an Aron. Then, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down and broke the Luchas and they made a second Luchas, but Saul made another Aron. So they ended up having two Aronis. The first one that was used to keep the first Luchas, and then the second one, which Saul made. So they had two Aronis. One was for the Aron, for the Luchas, for the Shivrei Luchas, the first one, and one was for the Luchas that were whole. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that everybody agrees that there were two Aronis. How could you say there weren't two Aronis? Moshe Rabbeinu's Luchas, the first Luchas he brought down, had to be kept somewhere. The question was that Aron retained the Kedusha after Bezalel built his Aron. The Mandom that says that there were two Aronis says, yes, that Aron retained its Kedusha, and the Shivei Luchas were kept in there. The other Mandom says that no, it didn't retain the Kedusha. There's a proof to what the Chachamim say, that the Aron never went out, because it says that by the time of Eli, the Aron was captured, and Eli made a statement, Oilanu miyatzlem miyar al kim adirim Eli. Who's going to save us? the Plishtim said. Nor the Lecham Yomeim. This never happened that they saw the Aron previously. So it's proof that the Aron was never taken out. Ask the Mefarshim, according to the Mandama that the Aron was always taken, what's he going to do with this Pasuk? So they answer, he will explain that normally they only took out the Aron with the broken Luchas. This time they took out the Aron with the whole Luchas. And that was what was so different, that they took out even this Aron. Says the Gemara on the other hand, Krom Sayla Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. We have a Pasuk that backs up Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. There were two Aronis. It says, V'yom Shol Lachiyo Agisha Aron Elokim. Shol wanted to ask a question of the Urim V'Tumim. Ask the Gemara, V'laya Aron B'Kiris Yoram Hayah. The Aron, after it was returned from the Plishtim, was in Kiris Yoram. So how can you say bring it to the Aron? It must be that the Aron with the Shivei Luchas was there. Ma of the Rabbanan. What would Rabbanan say? The Rabbanan say, Hagishalai Tzitz. He didn't mean bring the Aron with the broken Luchas. He meant bring the Aron that had in it the Tzitz. Because the Kohen Gadol wearing the Shemayna Begadim, which the most important of them is the Tzitz, had to be there when they asked the question the Aron V'tumim, but not that the Aron was there. Says the Gemara, Kram Sayle Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. There's another pasuk that backs up Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Ksev, Ha'aron V'Yisrael V'Yehuda Yoshim V'Sukkos. The pasuk says that the David HaMelech said that the Aron and Klal Yisrael are sitting in Sukkos, and so it's a proof that they were out in the field. V'Aloi Ha'aron B'Tzion Haya. Wasn't the Aron kept in Tzion? It must be, there were two Aronis. One was kept in Tzion, that was the one with the whole Luchas, and the other one was in the field. Ask the Gemara, my Avdalei Rabbanon. According to Rabbanon, that there was only one Aron, what does he explain? Says, S'chach Shukikiroi. The Pasuk doesn't mean that the Aron was with them. The Aron was in Tzion, but the Aron wasn't kept in a house, it was kept in a room that had only S'chach, because the Beis HaMikdash wasn't yet built, so they kept in some sort of a temporary hut. So it doesn't mean that the Sukkos, that the Aron was out with them in the field, in the battlefield. According to Rabbanan, there was only one Aron never went out to battle. What the Pasuk means was that the Aron was in a temporary structure. Actually, this question, if there was one Aron, two Aron, is a shayla that Noid Yehuda discusses. He discusses a shayla, let's say, we know if there's a Sefer Torah that becomes possible, it could be fixed. But let's say there's a Sefer Torah that's possible that the Sefer says can't be fixed. Could it be kept in Aron? Because a lot of places keep it in the Aron, HaKadosh, and they dance with it, and some Torah, they want to keep it. So he says, based on our Gemara, we see that there's a mandam, the Rabbanon hold, that the Aron, the Luchas and the Shivrei Luchas were kept in one Aron, even though they were Shivrei Luchas, they were broken, not to be repaired. So he says, even a Sefer Torah that is possible beyond repair may be kept in a Aron HaKadosh together with Kashrus Sefer Torah.